one of my son's favorite preachers. So, automatically, he's one of my favorite preachers.
Come, Brother John. Amen. Wow, it's a great meeting, isn't it? I don't downplay the church services at all. You know that. But when you walk in this place and just look around, I hope you didn't, obviously, because you're here. You really could visit a while and leave and feel a whole lot better. Just to know we're all still on the battlefield.
Yeah, right.
Amen. So, as Brother Prescott was saying there at the end, you're not all my children. I'm not that old yet. But I rejoice to see that my brothers and sisters walk in truth.
Yeah, that's right.
Amen. One of the great things about living for the Lord is that you get to associate with the best people in the world.
I believe that.
I know we're odd. We all in some way are odd, and some are more than others, but we're the best people in the world, and I'm proud to be part of you. Amen. I'm proud of the representatives from our own area here this year in the Ozark, a hole in this area there in southern Missouri, northern Arkansas. Brother Stan Collins, pastors at Willow Springs. Did you say this is your first time here, Brother Stan? Second time. Glad he's here. Brother Ronnie Wheeler's in Mountain View, where we have our youth camp and camp meeting. Brother Nathan Tabor, a new young pastor. He's in Batesville, Arkansas. And Brother Kelsey is a new, young pastor, Brandsville, Missouri. Amen. And we've got a couple of our nationwide and worldwide travelers here, Brother Don Tabor and Brother Frank Rogers, who you probably know. They travel the country and the world. I'm proud of them. They're great, the great folks, and we have a great fellowship, and I thank God for it. Some of you I know are far, far away from good fellowship, and it makes it very difficult. I thank God for those of us that do have fellowship that's nearby to worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Amen. All right. Well, Brother Don Ingram said we had all day. Didn't he say it? It's exactly what he said. I bet he'd take it back right now. See? I knew it.
I do.
Amen. Hopefully you won't need it. I want to read one verse to you, so if you don't mind to stand with me and turn to the book of Jude. I appreciate the invitation to preach, though I have to admit this meeting is enough to put you in the hospital or the psych ward, just worrying about it. So I hope I can help you here today. One verse, verse number 20 in the book of Jude. Amen. This is one congregation. You don't have to worry about everybody finding the place. Isn't that great? That is right, right? Okay. All right. The Bible says, "But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost." If the Lord will help me today, I want to try to preach on that last phrase, praying in the Holy Ghost. I mean, Lord, we thank you today for this service already. My, the Spirit of God we have felt and the power of your word that went out to us today already. And I pray that you would help me to preach what you've laid on my heart, Lord. Not that it's new, not that we don't already know, but just a reminder, Lord, and a confirmation of your Spirit. Of what power you want to work in our lives. And I pray you'll do that for us here today. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.
Amen.
I felt compelled to preach to us preachers and our wives about this necessary part of our Christian experience. And this necessary part of our ministry. Amen. We are Pentecostal in doctrine. Amen. We do believe that the Holy Ghost is the third person of the Trinity. Amen. We do believe that the Holy Ghost is present and powerful today. We do believe that every Christian is expected to seek for the baptism and the infilling of the Holy Ghost. And we believe that when a person is baptized in the Holy Ghost, they will speak in another tongue as the Spirit gives utterance. Amen. That is the initial, immediate sign or evidence that a person has been baptized in the Holy Ghost, that they will speak in tongues. We cannot back up on that. Amen. We, in recent years, and it's been a number of years, we've witnessed a lot of times a falling away of brothers and sisters in our movement. I know some people get irritated about that, but it's a movement. It's not an organization or denomination, you know, but we have a lot in common. We're a fellowship, and we've seen a lot of people fall out of our fellowship by their falling away from holiness matters. They've drifted completely away from holiness and gone away from truth in sanctification. But it alarms me that in recent years we're seeing a falling away from among our own fellowship in this matter of the Holy Ghost doctrine. Amen. People have been influenced in a lot of ways as they are drifting from the experience of the baptism of the Holy Ghost and the evidence of speaking in tongues. Some have been influenced by what I might call a revival of Calvinism. When I was a young man and learned about all that, I never would have imagined that in our day that Calvinism and strong hyper-Calvinism would make such an inroad across all the religious world. But it has. And we've seen a lot of influence in that. And some of that has been, we have men right from among us who no longer believe in the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. There are national ministries that promote, you know, their belief, and they have taken, some of them, a very strong stand against the Pentecostal experience. So some of them have been influenced by that. Some have been influenced by the writings of holiness writers. Now, don't fall out with me here. Let's just talk about this for a couple minutes, all right? Because I love to read old-time holiness writers, because you really can't find very many new writers who write anything about holiness. Not in a positive way. And it's true that we read a lot of those, but a lot of those preachers teach that the baptism of the Holy Ghost or the fullness of the Spirit is a second definite work of sanctification. Not an experience of the baptism of the Holy Ghost of power. And I think we need to be careful about that. They're writing. I read Samuel Chadwick. He's a tremendous writer. I've read his writings. I've read some of Charles Inwood's writings, scores of others, and they identify it this way. I read not long ago a sermon by a man named Spencer Johnson out of a book that was a book of holiness sermons. The sermon was titled "The Baptism with the Holy Ghost," and I thought, man, this ought to be good. And I get reading this sermon, and this brother Johnson went through every New Testament experience of the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the same ones I preach about: the upper room, Samaria, Saul's conversion, Cornelius, Ephesus. He went through every single one of those, and in every single case, he preached their experience as a work of holiness and not a work of power. And he says this, quote, "We have seen that the baptism with the Holy Ghost or sanctification is a second definite instantaneous work of grace." A lot of the Keswick speakers believe basically the same thing. I read Keswick sermons. Some of them are absolutely amazing. I don't discount that, but some have been influenced by that. Amen. Because some of them go to great lengths even to make sure that everyone knew they did not believe in speaking in tongues and they were not promoting it. So just last week, when I thought I already had my notes ready, I was reading a Keswick sermon by W.D. Jackson titled "The Fullness of the Spirit." He preached in his message about the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And in the middle of his sermon, he gave this disclaimer, quote, "I am not discussing or thinking of any mysterious gift of speaking another language or of breaking out into unintelligible speech," end quote. Now, I am not here today to cause any division or strife in the matter of your belief in sanctification. That's not what I'm preaching about. Okay? You all with me on that? That's not what I'm talking about. It's a vital subject, vital part of the Christian life. But I do not believe that the baptism of the Holy Ghost is a work of sanctification alone. It's more than that. Amen. It is evidenced by speaking in tongues as the Spirit gives utterance. Amen. And I refuse, for one, I refuse to back down on the Holy Ghost experience. Amen. Just because I want to be holiness. I believe you got to have them both. Amen. I know from studying the Bible that the baptism of the Holy Ghost is a definite experience. Amen. It is distinct from salvation. I know from studying the Bible, amen, that speaking in other tongues is the real evidence of that experience, and that that experience is for every believer. Hallelujah. Amen. I know it not only from studying the Bible, but I know it from experience too. I haven't only heard it and learned it in my head, but thank God as a child, I experienced it in my life. Amen. I remember the night I was saved. Amen. I know I was born again. I know I was washed in the blood. But I remember the night in Kansas City. Amen. When Claude Ely, that tells you how old I am. Amen. He was preaching the meeting and God baptized me with the Holy Ghost. And I spoke in other tongues as the Spirit gives utterance. And I'm not ashamed of it. And I'm not backing down from it. Hallelujah. Well, glory to God. So we really have a great responsibility, a greater responsibility in this matter, since we've been called by God to serve Him in ministry. We've been called to be preachers and teachers and missionaries and pastors and evangelists. Amen. So we need to make sure we experience this Pentecostal experience for ourselves, and then persuade our hearers that they need to experience it for themselves. But the Lord dealt with me in particular, and I have preached about this in a couple camp meetings. I felt the Lord deal with me about it, so if you've heard me, I'm sorry. You know, but it probably won't be any better than this time than it was the first time. But anyway, you might get a chance for a nap. Who knows? But the Lord has dealt with me about this part about praying in the Holy Ghost. Amen. What does it mean to pray in the Holy Ghost? Because Jude doesn't give any explanation of that. He just says, Beloved, hear you. Build up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. And that's all he says. So what does he mean by that? Well, you'll be glad. All you preachers will be glad to know I only have two main points. Amen. I believe it first means that we pray with the unction of the Holy Ghost. Pray with the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Pray with the fire, amen, and the fervency of the Holy Ghost. Praying with the faith even of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Oh, how we need to pray in the Holy Ghost. Amen. With anointing of the Spirit. A lot of times we relegate the subject of anointing to preaching. I want to feel the Spirit of God when I preach. Amen. We relegate that, though, sometimes to the singer being anointed when they sing. And you know, and probably all of us here would say, I think I can tell. When a singer is anointed and when they're not. I can tell when a testifier is anointed and so on. How about when we pray? Oh, how important it is, amen, that our prayer be anointed by the Holy Ghost. We need to pray with the fire of the Spirit and the unction of the Spirit. Amen. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. It's tough enough to make the flesh pray. But if you don't ever get anointed when you're praying, it's like a slow death. Isn't it? Oh, how we Pentecostals. Amen. We need to practice and experience the power of anointed praying. Hallelujah. In our private place and in the public place. Amen. Oh, I'll tell you what, our descendants, our ancestors in this Pentecostal experience, man, they knew what it was to pray in the Holy Ghost.
Amen. They were not hindered by what anybody thought or what anybody said. Amen. They had experienced it for themselves, and they believed in the power of praying in the Holy Ghost. I remember my dad telling us, and probably everybody ever preached to at some point or another. Amen. His parents got into Pentecost in the early 20s there in southern central Illinois. And there were great revivals taking place in that area of the Holy Ghost. It's outpouring and across all denominational lines. And I mean, those old timers, boy, they took praying seriously. And he tells about this lady from the church where his mother went. And that morning when her husband went off to work, she began to pray and began feeling the anointing and power of the Holy Ghost right there in her own little house, and felt the Holy Ghost speak to her and say, go over to Florence Gallagher's house. And so she packed up her little stuff and headed over there and knocked on the door of my grandma and said, hey, the Lord, I was praying and the Holy Ghost came on me and told me to come over here. And my grandma said, well, I'm doing fine. I really don't know what it might be. Let's pray about it. So they too had their own little prayer meeting there in the house, and the Holy Ghost moved again on the first sister and said, you need to both go to so-and-so's house. So they took off down the street, walked over there, knocked on the door. Nobody answered. They knocked on the door. A little louder, finally, her little voice said, come in, come in. So they went on in, and they found that sister in her bedroom in bed. She said, oh, I'm so sick. I can't get up. I haven't been up through the night and today. I've been praying that God would send somebody by to pray for me. So those two elderly ladies prayed for her, amen, and God healed her. Amen. Listen to me. I believe God uses the ministry for healing, but I believe God uses Christians who are Holy Ghost filled, amen, to pray in the Holy Ghost and get results. Hallelujah. You don't have to have a degree behind your name. Amen. You don't have to have a plaque hanging on your wall of all your certification. Oh, but you and I need to know how to pray in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Brother Beam used to tell us about an old-time evangelist named L.K. Dodge. I know Pettis probably, they might have known her. I know her dad knew him personally. But he was in revival in a church in Pennsylvania, and he met with the pastor that afternoon. They were meeting every afternoon to pray. They began to pray, and the Holy Ghost fell on old Brother L.K. Dodge in his praying, and he got anointed in praying in the Holy Ghost. And he ran down the aisle, went to a pew, and pointed to a certain spot and said, God, clean this mess out right here. And the pastor stood back with his eyes bugging out with shock, because there wasn't no way Brother Dodge knew who sat in that pew and the trouble they were causing in the church. But the Holy Ghost knows. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want you to know today, I'm not preaching this to you because I feel like I'm an expert on this subject, and not because I got it all taken care of, because I don't. But I'm asking God to help me in my own prayer, amen, to pray with the anointing of the Holy Ghost. I don't want to waste my time in ministry without the power of the Holy Ghost behind it. Amen. Paul said, the Spirit helps our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Amen. And He that searcheth the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Hallelujah. Oh, I tell you what, preachers, we've got to pray in the Holy Ghost. Amen. If we really want to pray perfectly according to the will of God. Because I've gone to prayer a whole lot of times, and I actually said, you know, Lord, I'm not even really sure what to pray about this. I really don't know. I've just knelt there, walked there, and didn't even really know what in the world to pray. And oh, how we need the Holy Ghost to anoint our prayer. Amen. Praying in the Holy Ghost is praying with the unction of the Holy Ghost. It's also at times praying with the utterance of the Holy Ghost. There need to be regular times where the Holy Ghost takes our prayer over.
Hallelujah. Amen. Where it's not just my head and not just my feelings, but oh, the Holy Ghost. Amen. God, the third person of the Trinity, takes over my prayer. Amen. And prays through me. Oh, that God would help us. Amen. To yield ourselves to be channels of prayer of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Some years ago, I was studying the New Age movement. I found articles about these people who called themselves channelers. One of the articles told about this petite, small lady who was barely over 5 feet tall and weighed about 100 pounds, and she would pack out an auditorium because she would go and sit on this bar stool in the front and go into a trance, and this evil spirit, which I forget his name at this point, which isn't important, but this evil spirit would begin speaking through her in this deep guttural voice. And for a half an hour or an hour, she would channel this evil spirit. Man, I'll tell you what, that's a demonic demonstration. But oh, how about those of us, amen, who know the power of the Holy Ghost, yielding ourselves to be a channel of the Holy Ghost to pray and speak through us? That's not scary. That's not mystical. It's not evil. It's not demonic. It's a holy demonstration. Hallelujah. So Paul said, I pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding. So obviously, there are times that when we pray with our own understanding. Amen. With our own knowledge, with our own words. But there are times where the Spirit gives utterance. Hallelujah. Shouldn't be rare. For us, preachers, wise, we're all on the front line. It shouldn't be rare for us to have these times of prayer where the Holy Ghost prays through us with utterance. Hallelujah. Now, the Bible speaks of the tongues of men and of angels. That's in 1 Corinthians 13. We know men have languages. I don't know how many there are now. A lot of you do mission work. You travel. And I mean, there are literally hundreds and probably thousands of languages of men. There are also tongues of angels. They're another order of being. Amen. They, angelic beings, have language or languages. And the Bible talks about new tongues. And that refers to people speaking in a language that is new to them by the power of the Holy Ghost. They don't know that language. It's new to them, but the Holy Ghost speaks that through them. New tongues. Same thing, maybe by this designation of other tongues, where the Spirit of God speaks through you in a language that you yourself don't know. All right? Like on the day of Pentecost, though at that point they were praying before and they were baptized in the Holy Ghost, but when the Holy Ghost did speak through them, he spoke through them in other tongues, because there were approximately 15 nationalities there that are named, that all of them heard someone speaking in their own language. It still can happen today. Don't you believe the Holy Ghost can speak through us in other tongues? Amen. I read of a preacher named C.A. Ratz, R-A-T-Z. He was at the Canadian Pentecostal Bible College preaching a meeting, and they had a chapel service in the morning, and they dismissed, went down into the basement dining hall to have lunch. The dining hall had small windows up above that were, there was a sidewalk on that upper level, and there were windows out to it, and they had the windows open, and they asked this brother, C.A. Ratz, to pray before the meal. So he began to pray, and as he prayed, the Holy Ghost came on him, and he began praying in tongues, and he prayed and prayed and prayed in tongues for quite some time, and then brought it to a conclusion, and they started to settle down. And there was a man who came in through, and had come in, was standing there at the back of the dining hall door, and he was asking someone in the back, who was speaking in Chinese? And they looked at him and said, nobody we know. And he said, I was walking by that sidewalk, and I heard someone speaking in my own dialect and telling me that
that I needed Jesus as my Savior, and that man came in and prayed and got saved. Here's a brother who's praying over a meal, for goodness sake. Amen. And he allows the Holy Ghost to pray through him. Amen. And only God knows what can be accomplished. Amen. If you and I will understand how powerful it is to pray in the Holy Ghost. Brenda and I were teaching at Export many years ago. Brother and Sister Pettit were there. Matter of fact, there's Brother Metzger might have been. Brother Binkley. There are a lot of, man, I feel old. Whew. Brother TD was there in the day. Man, they're really pretty young folks, though. But there was a young lady who came from Kenya to Bible school. She had a small son. What had happened was her husband was a minister with the Assemblies of God. And he was attending one of their seminaries, but it's very expensive. And he felt like she needed Bible school training, but they couldn't afford for her to go to that school. So I know it's awkward. I understand. But he was at that college. She and her little boy were at Export. So it was difficult. I mean, she didn't know anybody when she got there. She was not real good with the language. The culture was different. And if you've ever been in a winter in Pennsylvania, Brother Vance, remember? If you go from Georgia up there and have winter, you think it's bad. You go from Kenya up there and have winter, you probably think that you went to the wrong place and it really froze over. It was bad. She was struggling. You know, she had all this pressure, all this stress, and of course she didn't express this to anybody until later on. But she was burdened. She was ready to quit and give it up and leave. And you can't really have any fault with that in that situation. It'd be tough for anybody. But in the evening prayers one night, she was kneeling at the second pew on the girls' side because the girls and guys are separated there. And she was praying there at the pew. And, of course, a lot of those guys, when they pray, they walk. I used to tease them. I said, maybe you only do it to stay awake. But really, I guess that's okay. It's better to walk to stay awake and pray than to curl up in a blanket and go to sleep. In prayer time, you know. So these guys are walking and praying. So Kevin Blaney's from New York. He's walking up and down the middle aisle, and he's praying and praying and praying. And all of a sudden, the Holy Ghost comes on him, and he starts praying in tongues as he's walking up and down the aisle. And all of a sudden, Rhoda gets all excited and stirs everybody up. And Kevin was praying in her Kenyan dialect and giving her encouragement from the Lord and reminding her that God was her strength and her hope, and it all turned around for her. Amen. I tell you what, brother and sister, we have not yet tapped into the fullness of the power of the Holy Ghost, even though we know it in our head. Man, we got to get it down in our heart and get it out in our life. There is power in praying in the Holy Ghost. I always tease my dad because he has a hard time with English. And he got praying for that brother on that airplane a lot of you have heard about. They'd made a trip to the Holy Land. And the brother was feeling sick and they gathered around to pray. Dad began praying in the Holy Ghost. And when he finished up, a stewardess is standing there with tears running down her eyes and told my dad he spoke in Arabic. She asked him if he knew Arabic. I've teased him ever since. She should have told her he didn't even hardly know English, let alone Arabic. But he witnessed to her in her own language without even knowing it. Oh, all I'm saying, brothers and sisters, is, amen, we're living in the last days. Man, we're in those last days of time. Amen. And we go to Joel chapter 2, and we go to Acts chapter 2. Amen. Peter quoted what Joel said, and we talk about the last days and the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. Amen. We talk about that revival. Amen. But listen to me. It's one thing for us to preach about it and talk about it. Amen. It's another thing for us to experience it ourselves. Amen. I tell you what, some of us, amen, we need to pray through to a new experience of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Where all of our doubts about it are removed forever. Hallelujah. Amen. Where we're not making excuse for what we believe and trying to reason it all out, but we know it with certainty. Hallelujah. There are also unknown tongues. I'm not going to keep you much longer. The Bible specifically talks about unknown tongues, which by all indication are a language that only God knows. I mean, there are tongues of men and angels. There are new tongues. There are other tongues. But there are unknown tongues. So not every time we pray in the Holy Ghost are we praying in a recognized language. Not as far as the earth is concerned. But there are times that we're praying, like Paul said, he that prayeth in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto man, but unto God. For in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries. Now this is my opinion. I have thought about it, which is better than some people's opinions. But this is an opinion. I'm just kidding you. But I have thought about this. Amen. If it's an unknown tongue to men or to angels, well, I know the devil knows men's tongue. And I'm sure the devil knows angelic tongues because he's an angelic being. But I don't think the devil knows unknown tongues. I really don't. I believe when the Holy Ghost prays through a believer like you or me in an unknown tongue, amen, it's like that little proverbial red phone, that hotline all the way to the throne, hallelujah, that even the devil don't know what the Holy Ghost is saying in you, amen, you and I, amen, we need to experience the power of praying in the Holy Ghost, amen, where we bypass everybody else and go directly to the ear of God Himself, hallelujah. Glory to God. Paul said, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself. Don't be afraid to pray in tongues. It's just the Spirit of God giving you a good workout. Hallelujah. You feel weak? You feel defeated? You feel frustrated? The worst thing to do is call a bunch of people, tell them how bad you feel. Get it crying on everybody's shoulder. I tell you what you need to do, what I need to do. Man, we got to get along with God. Amen. Whether it's in an office or a study or the woods or a bedroom or in a place like this somewhere. Amen. And pray through to the Holy Ghost. Praise through us. Man, He'll build you up. Amen. Jude said, you got to build up your most holy faith. How do you do that? Pray in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Amen. You'll go out of here stronger. Amen. More courageous. More powerful. So Paul said, I thank my God I speak in tongues more than you all. Yeah, he knew the Corinthians had problems. He wrote a whole bunch trying to straighten them out. But he wanted to make sure they knew. He wasn't criticizing speaking in tongues. Are you hearing me? All the problems they had was their own personal misuse. Was not a problem with the Holy Ghost speaking through man. You and I need to pray in the Holy Ghost. I do want to preach with zeal and demonstration. But when it's time to pray, I don't want to stand around the altar talking to everybody and waste my prayer time. Amen. I am not going to continue to get upset when I hear about brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so from among us who changed their doctrinal position on the baptism of the Holy Ghost and they no longer preach it or believe it's necessary, and then not be careful and have the same end result in my own life and ministry. Not by not believing it, but by not practicing it. What's the difference? Is it worse to say you don't believe it anymore? Or is it worse to say you believe it and don't practice it? Well, hallelujah. Hallelujah. For I have promised that I will pour out my Spirit in the last days, saith the Lord. And I have kept that promise. And I have poured out the Holy Ghost. And it is available for you. Oh, that my people would hunger for the power of the Holy Ghost. For I will seek the Lord today as we wrap up this service. Hallelujah. Sister Ruth, would you feel like singing? Would you be able to do that? Come on, we got time. Everybody would. Come right on. Let's pray today. Let's seek the Lord. How long has it been since you prayed all the way through to the utterance of the Holy Ghost in your life? Hallelujah. Oh, God, help us pray with the unction of the Holy Ghost. And help us to pray with the utterance of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah.